Well, it's a chance now for us to talk about something completely different. Extremely busy news week, and indeed a busy news day. We've been watching testimony from President Cyril Ramaphosa at the State Capture Commission. Suspended ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule is back in court. And a brief break from both of those stories gives us a chance to talk about absentee fatherhood. It is the week in which we celebrate Women's Day. It's Women's Month. But I should imagine that this is something that is a hot topic for so many South Africans. We've received many emails and SMSs from listeners talking to us about the adverse effects of absentee fatherhood or absent fathers in South African homes. And someone that is well versed on the topic is matrimonial law expert Shando Tirani joins us now. Good morning to you, Shando.
Hi, Nicholas. How are you doing?
So far, so good, man. It is only Wednesday. I wish it was Friday, but hopefully the weather is better by the weekend.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think there's definitely a hint of spring in the air. And you know, the good thing about Friday is that it's only 2 working days away from Monday. So yes, I share your sentiment.
Exactly. So let's look at what President Cyril Ramaphosa said on Women's Day. As I said, it seems a little bit counterintuitive to talk about so-called men's issues in Women's Month, but this is something that cuts across the sexual barrier, so to speak. Absentee fatherhood worsens economic hardship in female-headed households with no child support. That was something that President Cyril Ramaphosa said on Women's Day, calling it a tragic phenomenon. So let's, before we delve into the legal issues around it, how prevalent is this type of thing?
Unfortunately, it's a lot more prevalent than we give it credit. A lot of it's got to do with our history and migrant labor, that you have fathers that have to work away from homes, very, very far away from homes. You have, and you and I both know, a lot of the taxi drivers in Johannesburg are from KwaZulu-Natal. Doesn't mean they don't have families. A lot of the people who work in the mines are from other parts of the country. Doesn't mean they don't have families, but this is where they had to come to find work. So the migrant labor system has really increased the absentee fatherhood phenomena. And I believe many, many of our social ills are due to absent fathers. A son and a daughter, they want the adoration of their parents, or they want their parents to tell them that they are good and that they are okay and that they are proud of them. They want acceptance and attention from their parents. And unfortunately, in a lot of the gang-ridden areas, when the fathers are not there, or the poorer areas, there are many so-called fathers or father figures who will fill the gap, and unfortunately not with the best intent. So I think many of our social ills are due to absent fathers, but it's not because the father, as a matter of fact, makes a choice. Oh, I'm going to be absent. He's actually away so he can provide food, clothing, and shelter for his family so he can earn an income.
So look, it's something structural, right? But it's also something that does happen as a result of divorce, parental separation, alienation, and the like. Beyond structural issues, how often are you seeing this in your line of work, where two people are getting divorced and in an ideal world you have a situation where there's a marriage that's produced kids? Kids should have as much access to both parents as possible, right?
Well, you would think that, but unfortunately quite often and too often children get used as cannon fodder in a divorce and as a bargaining chip. I had a situation where the person, the back story was a divorce, and the person, the woman made very, very heinous accusations, allegations against my client. And due to that, it was all proven to be false. And due to that, he couldn't see his children. And he was a primary caregiver of his children. He couldn't see his children for 5.5 months, 4 minor children. And that's had nothing to do with him, and all the allegations she made turned out to be completely and utterly false. So there is a lot of people using the legal system and keeping men away from their children. There is a lot of that too, unfortunately. And there is, by no means are fathers without blame. There are certain situations where the role is reversed. Let's just call it the primary caregiver, the day-to-day parent. Certainly uses the children as a weapon to punish the other person and abuses the legal process to also frustrate contact between the other parent and the children. More often than not, unfortunately, or fortunately or unfortunately, whatever the case may be, custody is still primarily awarded to mothers. So a lot of times you find that it is the mother who does it, but more and more custody is also awarded to fathers, and they are by no means without reproach. I see this both ways, and it's the children that suffer, unfortunately, and it's something that really bothers and irks me, and in our practice we don't allow it.
Tell me, is there something to the fault of the legal system that you know, we are just enforcing the laws that are on the statute, or is it something in particular that's, judge-centric, if I can put it that way? We have judges and magistrates enforcing laws in a specific way based on how we have grown up seeing divorces unfold, right? I mean, the stereotypical thing is that kids end up with the mom.
Yes, I think it's all of the above, and in varying degrees. I'd say the first fault would be, or the first room for improvement that we have, is our actual laws, our actual legislation. The most abused piece of legislation in our country is the Domestic Violence Act. And in that, an interim order can be granted, throwing a person out of the house, stopping them from seeing the children without the court having heard his side. So a person goes to court and says, oh, this person threatened or abused me. They have to be thrown out of the house. They are not allowed to see the children. Now the matter, in this current matter that I was talking about, why the person couldn't see the children for 5.5 months, is the matter was set down for a date. Then we came to court, and because of COVID, the matter wasn't proceeding. Then the matter was postponed to another date. Then for some reason, it was postponed again. Do you understand? So we were ready to go, as from the word go, to fight this matter, but there was a number of postponements, and it ended up being 5.5, almost 6 months, that the minor children had no contact, that our client was not even allowed to send them a text message. So that's the legal system in itself. And then, of course, there is also the fact, the institutional memory of the role that mothers and fathers play. And the courts should be slow to change in that regard. But as people from a younger generation, more so our generation, are now making it to the bench, that sort of view is slowly changing.
We're talking about parental alienation and woman-headed households. President Cyril Ramaphosa raising the alarm over absentee fatherhood on Women's Day. And we're chatting to matrimonial law expert Shando Turan, getting a feel of how the legal system almost aids and abets this type of thing. I mean, look, we're talking about stereotypes and very broad strokes here, Shando, because as you mentioned before, not only are fathers, men in divorce fights without fault, but also at the end of the day, the lived experience of the majority of women in female-headed households is not as a result of messy divorces where the man has been, sold the short end of the stick, so to speak.
Absolutely agree. Let's not say that men are without reproach. And I've certainly been involved in a number of cases where I've acted for a woman and we are removing an absent father from the child's life, in that the child is better off without a person who shows up once every 2 years, wants to act like father of the year, makes promises to the child, and then disappears for the next 2 years, which the child finds confusing, highly traumatizing, and that in itself has damage to the child. So I have sympathy for many, many, many women out there. There are a lot of deadbeat fathers who show up every once in a while, and like I say, now they want to act like father of the year. And that in itself does phenomenal damage to the child. They then show up for 1 weekend, demand contact, have contact, promise the child that they'll be there next weekend, and then they're gone again. That in itself has phenomenal damage to the child. What they need basically is just people to be more grown up and more adult and not use the children as a weapon to punish the other party. In a divorce, people don't get divorced when things are going well. People get divorced when the trust has been broken, when the wheels have come off, and they are very angry at each other, and rightfully so. I mean, there a couple stood in front of their friends and their colleagues and their family in a church, promising their undying love and faithfulness to each other, and that didn't happen. As a matter of fact, the opposite happened. So people are angry, emotions are high, and unfortunately, they want to have the other person feel like they are feeling hurt, disappointed, confused, and that person, they're having ruined their lives they want to have some payback and revenge. And unfortunately, the children are used, and the court process quite often is used as a way to achieve that. But the ultimate loser in a situation like that are the children. And at our firm and at many other law firms that are worth something, they do not allow that to happen.
If you just joined us, we're talking about absentee fatherhood with Shanda Turan, matrimonial legal expert. Lines are open now, 011-883-0702. Give us a call right now. I would love to hear from you. What's been your experiences growing up in a household where you did not have a father around? And what would you say is the solutions to this pervasive problem? Shanda, as we draw to close our conversation, beyond the structural economic aspects that we spoke about at the beginning of this chat, what do you think needs to change from a legal perspective?
Two things from a legal perspective, and let's start with maintenance. Children eat every day, not every second day, and people need to pay maintenance. I think, as in other developed countries, the maintenance that the non-custodial parent has to pay to the custodial parent has to be part of your tax bill. The state pays it over and then claims it from you later.
That seems pretty, progressive on the one hand, but also, do you see that the SARS being able to implement something like that?
Yes. If you get a paycheck, absolutely. If you have an IRP 5, no issue. It's a little add-on to your program. If they can tell you how much tax you owe, they can certainly say, part of that can be your maintenance obligation, and the state can have the responsibility of paying it over. And not every time you and your partner are in dispute, maintenance gets held back. So that's the one thing that needs to happen. The administration of maintenance should be taken, I'd say, out of the legal system, basically, and that will clear up the courts to a phenomenal degree. That's number one. Number two, the act of parental alienation, where the one parent makes the child fearful of the other parent, that should be an act of domestic violence. Because you can apply for a domestic violence or a protection order on behalf of someone else. So then a parent can apply on behalf of a child for the other parent to cease and desist with what they are doing. I have too many issues where the parent collects the child 1 week and nothing is wrong and nothing changes, and he shows up a week or two later and the child is too afraid. I've just had that yesterday again. Now the child is too afraid to get into the car. And now the other party says, well, I'm not denying you contact your child, but I'm not going to force my child to get into the car. Hence, you can't see them this weekend. I have too many issues like that. And that, making the other child fearful of you, of a parent who's involved and who the child loves, that should, never mind being child abuse, that should be an act of domestic violence.
Shanda, always a pleasure chatting to you. Do you believe in what Shanda is saying? Do you think that fathers or even mothers that are not meeting their maintenance obligations, it should become something that SARS sorts out based on court orders? You are not paying your papgeld? Well, SARS will just take it and pay it over to your former significant other. What are your thoughts on that? 011-883-0702. Shanda, before we say goodbye, how can people get a hold of you?
www.devlaw, that's Delta India Victor Lima Alpha Whiskey, .co.za, that's Shanda at Devlaw, make it www.devlaw. And I always do this, and you say I shouldn't do it, give my cell phone number. It's 082-819-5675. I'll say it again, 082-819-5675. I'm available 24/7 to my clients or to anybody else, and that's if I'm not in court.
Shanda Turan, matrimonial legal expert, chatting to us about estranged and absent fathers in Women's Month. What's your thoughts on that? 011-883-0702 or drop us an SMS 31702.